Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 30th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, they
did they have any events today?
Events?
Yes.
Events?
Okay.
Talking about these events.
All right. Just want to make sure we had something to talk about today.
The White House, Carney's stepping down. The guy from the VA gave his resignation, so it's happening.
You know, I think when Carney, if I understand correctly, Carney started growing a beard, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think that was a sign he'd had enough.
I think that was a sign?
Yeah, it was just, I'm out of here. I think that was the first thing he should have said as soon as they saw him growing the beard, then he's gone.
He's history. Yeah.
And you wonder what really motivates this. I've seen some of the reports, and Obama says he's a good friend and we'll miss him and a bunch of other stuff like that. But, you know, you do have to wonder, has Carney finally hit the gag reflex or he just says, I can't keep telling these lies? Or who knows? But he says he doesn't know what he's going to do next yet. And he's going to probably take the summer off while he decides.
Well, he writes a book.
Well, whatever he's doing. Yeah, maybe writes a book. It's hard to say what he's going to do. But it's telling you that if we can believe what he's saying, he's not quitting because somebody made him a better offer. He's quitting because he can't stand the job. That's why he's, if he says he's got no place to go, I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm getting out of here. He's telling you he's rejecting this job as, you know, spokesman for the administration. And
well, actually, do you know what?
We can wonder why and speculate, but that's probably what's happening, at least in part.
I heard a discussion about Geithner and his book, his writing of his book. Mm. And with these officials, when they leave their positions, I'm not sure it would actually, I would think it would also include Carney, when they leave their positions, they are to have a 60-day cooling off period to where, you know, they're pretty much mum and, you know, pretty much take 60 days off. So I guess they can control them to make sure they don't say anything or, you know, but they call it off a cooling off period. So I would say the reason he's taking the summer off is that's probably his 60-day cooling off period.
But could be.
He's not going to admit that. And in the midst, he'll probably be penning a book because you can make millions of dollars as a book and then you become a speaker and then a lobbyist, if you so desire. So that's what most of the politicians do. They become lobbyists. So. But let's see what gold was able to lobby out today. Not much, down $6 today, but off the low of the day, $12.50 for gold today. Silver was down, broke down into the 18 level, 18.89, down 26. That's also off the low of the day. Platinum was down $4 at $14.54. Palladium, $8.40. The USDX today is trading down slightly lower, 0.10, at 80.39, with crude oil following along down 0.76 at 102.82. The paper markets today, I believe the winning numbers, record highs for the Dow and the S&P ending out May. The Dow was up 18 points at 16,717. The NASDAQ was down 5. Actually, it reversed itself today. The NASDAQ was actually up. The other two were down. And, of course, they had to finish out the month strong. I mean, what else would they do? The S&P was up 3 at 1923. The NASDAQ 42.42, down 5. 10-year yields coming back a little bit, 0.01 at 2.46. percent. So everyone is sort of eyeing what's going to happen next week. The European Central Bank, everyone's discussing how they're setting the stage for the gold market. I don't believe that could have some impact. The expectations are that the ECB, the European Central Bank, will take some action because of low inflation and the credit growth in the Eurozone. President Mario Draghi suggested that the governing council, they were comfortable with acting the next time, meaning its June meeting, to take some sort of stimulus measures. And he wanted to see some more economic data before acting. And there was some economic data being released today. German retail sales was weak. The consumer price index was weak out of Spain and Italy. And so that sort of reinforces the idea that they will do some sort of stimulus. A lot of them are expecting a cut, of course, in the key rates. And you would think that should be good for gold. However, there's things that... you know, with the revision of our GDP this week, the numbers were terrible. You would have expected gold to rally a little bit, and maybe it did in its own way. Maybe they were unable to push it lower, and we were able to stabilize it at these numbers around the 1250 area. You know, we don't know. There's been reports out that physical buying has been noticeably absent, particularly out of Asia, for the purchasing of gold, and perhaps with the softer prices and the new government in India that is relaxing the gold import rules might spur some buying interest and help support these levels. So it'll be an interesting week next week, and of course we have the U.S. non-farm payrolls report coming out, so all eyes will be that.
I think China will be buying gold hand over fist at this level. It may be that some nations in Asia may not be jumping in just yet, but I am going to assume, and I might be willing to bet, that China's picking up all the gold it can lay hands on. What surprises me about this, there's two explanations for gold going down the way we've seen really over the last 18 months or so. You have price manipulation, one possible reason. And the second reason is maybe the economy's, maybe it really is pointing toward deflation. Maybe that's what's going on here. And they see the market is sensing that there is a recession, a global recession that will deepen, or perhaps even a global depression that will become overt and undeniable. Under those circumstances, we'll have deflation, and at least for a while, we'll see the dollar gain value while other prices are falling. Now, That would be a plausible explanation. Deflation would be a plausible explanation if it were not only true that the price of gold was falling, but other prices were falling too, like food. And I don't see that happening. Which tells me we're not looking at deflation here. This is not a consequence of the markets anticipating we're going into a depression. That's not what we're seeing. We have to be, this almost has to be just a response to manipulation. It doesn't make, I'm not able to understand a rationale for it other than that. The gold is not overpriced. It's got a long ways to go. It doesn't make sense to me at this time. And it hasn't, in part because for the past 40 years or more, our government has wanted and insisted on inflation. We hear them talk about it periodically that they want 2% per year inflation. They're concerned, they allege that inflation is less than 2%. They want to boost it up to 2%. They want inflation. They have to have it in order to reduce the real size of the national debt. The debt is $17 trillion and reduce it by 2% every year for 10 years or for 5 years, you've knocked off 10% of the national debt. You still pay the same amount of dollars back on the debt, but they're only worth 90 cents as compared to the dollars that were borrowed in the first place. They are diminished. Their purchasing power is diminished by 10%. Government wants inflation so they can rob the creditors. One of the hallmarks of inflation would be rising prices of gold. I have been surprised that government has allowed the price of gold to fall. They want inflation. They can't survive deflation. I look at it and it doesn't make sense to me, and I don't understand what's going on here. It's nonsensical, irrational. Or these people are marching to the beat of a drummer that I don't understand or hear.
Well, I think what is happening, Al, is they're addressing situations item by item when it happens. And I think when they do that, they when you micromanage something, to me, you're going to have, there's no logic to it. And you can't make sense out of it because they're only addressing what they need to address at the time they need to address it. I mean, they don't want deflation. They need inflation. And so,
but they don't want the dollar to be so badly discredited that it collapses. To me, maybe that's the only explanation. They're trying to shore up the dollar by holding gold down. At the same time, they're trying to create 2% inflation or more in the economy. I don't know.
And the thing of it is, I mean, we know, just look at the European and look at Draghi, what he says. They don't want deflation. They're going to lower rates. This is another look what our 10-year yield has been doing. So it shows that inflation was rising and when the rates was rising and they had to curtail it. So, I mean, these are all day-to-day, minute-by-minute micromanagement of the system. And I think you're going to have pockets of inflation. You're going to have pockets of deflation. And I think the reason they pulled the food and energy out of the numbers is so they can give a number that they can actually manage. They can't manage food. They can't control the food prices. They can't control energy prices to any significant degree. That's why they pull them out. Everything else that curtails into that report, they can control. So, you know, and again, it's distortions. It's the illusions. In order to have an illusions, you have to have confusion. I think that's what it is. So,
well, it may just be desperation. I mean, some of this may not make sense in the same sense that if you're in a sinking boat, some people are going to do some strange things to try to prevent the boat from sinking. And they will seem stupid and desperate and try to stick your finger in the hole in the boat or who knows what you're going to try to do. It may be that in the midst of desperation, some people in government are acting in ways that seem incomprehensible. And maybe that's what we're looking at. It's just evidence of desperation. They're doing things that they know are stupid, but it doesn't matter because they are fighting to hang on for another day, a week, a month, a year.
Absolutely. And the fundamentals, when you talk about inflation and you talk about our debt, they're there. That's real. That's reality. And even though we have these illusions, reality will reality exists.
And, well, that's, yeah.
And reality is what, and the reasons why we follow fundamentals. Because those fundamentals don't change, and the day of reckoning, because of those fundamentals, will happen. And certainly, we see pressures on gold and silver. I mean, this could be even an after effect of what's going on about the London silver fix, because there's so many distorted reports out there, you know, thinking that there's going to be some sort of a disconnect between the paper and the physical. They're only, and I said from day one, they'll just find a replacement in order to do the fixing. And we were going to talk about that anyway today, because there were some reports yesterday about how the CME group, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, is looking and been talking to the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA, in trying to develop a possible alternative to the London silver fixing.
And just so people understand, the London silver fix was exactly that, the fix. They controlled the price of silver on a daily basis.
As they do gold.
And essentially a handful of people said, this is what silver will sell for today. Now, it's not the decision that's made by the free market. It was made by the London, Silver Market Fixing Limited. But they're going to stop administering the benchmark price of silver on August 14th. And the reason is because there has been increased regulation of and government investigation of the price fixing. And there's a good chance that some of these people are not only going to be sued, they're going to be jailed. And so they're saying, well, we don't want to go to jail. And so we're going to quit. We're going to quit the racket on August 14th. But the racket is vital to maintaining the price of silver and holding it down and preventing the free market from setting the price of silver. And therefore, a couple of other entities are now talking about setting up a system. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the London Metals Exchange are talking about setting up some sort of an electronic alternative. All right, that's the term that they're using in the in the newspaper report. They're going to have an electronic alternative.
You thought the market was rigged before. Just wait till they get the electronic.
Oh, I understand. But here's the great advantage of it. They're going to set this up. Right. When they say an electronic alternative, they mean a computerized system, a program that will tell us what the price of silver is on any given day. All right? So it'll be up to the programmers to figure out how to set that price. But they'll be able to hide, and they'll be able to say, well, gee, the computer calculated this. I didn't do it. Melody didn't do it. The people at the London Metal Exchange didn't do it. And the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, it was the computer. See, it's a little bit like saying the devil made me do it. It may be more difficult to jail people if you can blame the computer for setting the price, rather than blame individuals who between themselves sit back and say, well, this is what the price will be today.
I would kind of.
It's going to work.
I would like to see the Chicago Mercantile Exchange take it over. I don't know if it. You do have some folks in there, Art Cashin. He has actually, I've heard his comments several times talking about the big trades for gold in the past year when they started this back in April of last year. There was four or five huge trades coming into the market, into the gold market before the markets opened here in the States. They all transacted while the European markets were on break, at their lunch break. And no one knows who've done these big dumps and these big trades. And naturally, anytime someone usually wants to unload a large trade, you do it in sections. You do it various times to get the best price, because you never get the best price if you're going to dump a big load. So, he voiced concern as far as who these people, person, corporation, government was. Because it was not released. And of course, those were the days when these big trades happened. that had always pushed gold down significantly. So when you hear,
I don't trust cash. You know, the Chicago Metals Mercantile Exchange. I trust the free market, and it might be volatile and unpredictable, but that's where I'd put it. We have to take a break. It's time for commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We were talking about, well, let's find out first off, Melody, do you have a special for people today or not?
Yes, I do. I thought you would never ask me.
I was never going to do it, but I thought, what the heck?
Hey, we're going to follow through with a special yesterday that includes a 1-year subscription to the International Forecaster. It's 1 ounce silver eagle, 20 of those, 1/10 ounce gold eagle. 1-year subscription to the International Forecaster. It includes shipping. And remember, folks, it's a trade during the month of May, so you also get another silver eagle. So you're actually getting 21 silver eagles, 1/10 ounce gold eagle, 1-year subscription to the International Forecaster. Shipping is included, all for the low price of $725. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And folks, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Yes, we carry a special on there. We still have the Baseball Hall of Fame coin up there for a special for you. And you can also listen to these radio programs archived on a daily basis, monthly basis, and, of course, even live. If you go to the website now, dgscoins.com, you can hear us live.
Well, they can hear us live right now. If they're listening, they hear us live. If you can hear us right now,
depends on where they're listening.
3:25 Central Time.
They listen.
You're hearing us live.
they keep listening shortwave, and now they can go to their computer and listen to us because maybe they didn't know that. So,
yeah, I tell you, I acquired one of these Baseball Hall of Fame commemorative coins, 1 ounce silver from the mint that you have on sale right now. And I've acquired one in the last week. And I have to admit, it's strange. It's unusual, and it's oddly fascinating. I have other coins that are slabbed collectibles, and I'm not really a collector. All right, I'm just an investor. That's all I am. I don't collect coins in the sense that David Krieger is on the program from time to time, and David follows coins where he's fascinated by the history of the coin. And he understands how many were minted at a particular time in a particular year. And I've seen people that really study coins that are not just interested in the coin per se, they're interested in the metallurgy of the coins. Well, these people are real collectors, and that's not me. I just, these are investments for me, that's all. But this silver Baseball Hall of Fame coin, which is convex on one side and concave on the other side, it really is a strange coin because I have it sitting here and I'm holding it in my hand. I have it on my desk and I just feel a kind of compulsion to sit down, pick it up and look at it from time to time because it's not flat in the sense that most coins are. All right? This is strange and there's something about it that fascinates me and I don't know that other people are going to work the same way, but this is a very unusual coin. I suspect that over the years, depending on how many they mint and the rest of that sort of thing, I think this is going to be a highly collectible coin. I think it's going to be special over the course of the years. It's certainly, it's just special to me. It's just odd. It's strange. It's and it's beautiful. It's a remarkable little coin. Just I look at it and I'm astonished that a designer could come up with this idea and persuade the mint to create a coin with this peculiar shape. It's concave on the side where it has a catcher's mitt, a little baseball mitt, and on the other side it's convex where we have a baseball. And interesting, fascinating. So,
what's 3D?
Yeah, it's
a 3D coin.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. You know, all coins are technically 3D. They exist in all three dimensions, but they're fundamentally flat on the two sides. They look two-dimensional in a sense. This is obviously a three-dimensional coin, and it's strange. And like I said, I'm not a collector. I'm not, you know, I'm an investor, but I look at this. I'm a collector relative to this.
And something else, they only minted 400,000 of these coins, so a very low mintage, and the mint is already sold out on them, and so I already received buyers from other dealers wanting to, they're actively buying them. So I think it's, you know, there's a big,
this is going to be a winner over time. I don't know how this is going to work out the next 90 days, 6 months and the rest of that in terms of price.
And I'm not a fan on commemorative coins because I believe you buy them because you like them. You don't buy them to, you know, put, you know, $20,000 into commemorative coins to preserve your purchasing power. But to purchase a coin, commemoratives, you buy it for the beauty, the oddity, the
rarity, and perhaps to fill in a spot with the other commemorative coins you're collecting. I mean, I would bet that a collection of commemorative coins where you had a significant number, the collection itself takes on a value above and beyond the value of the individual coins, if you follow my drift.
It depends on the group. And, you know, there are certainly some more rare commemoratives. And what happens is a lot of dealers will sell just common. One of the most common errors I think people do is buy the $5 gold commemoratives and the $10 gold commemoratives, the Olympic ones, and they push them off as rare coins, and they're really not. They're basically just melt value. So if you buy them at melt value, they're neat coins, but most dealers won't sell them at the right price. They overcharge people for them and sell them their more than what they really are. I think you're going to see this coin that maintains its value only because of the desire of it. And you got to face it, you know, baseball is a very hot game in this country. And so I think it is one that it will take on a price of its own. So get it low while you can, folks. We do still have Mint State 70s at $295 each. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Do you know why baseball is a hot game, Melody?
Because it's played in summer.
That's exactly right.
Oh my!
And that's why hockey is a cool game.
Now I figured.
Baseball is hot and hockey is cool because hockey is played in the wintertime and on ice.
Mm. Well,
one is cool and one is hot.
Well, I'm scared now.
Say what?
I'm scared. I figured out what your answer was.
Yeah, believe me, it's probably frightened me more than it did you. I'm wondering, what is happening here?
It's like an old married couple. I get to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I know. This is what's gone wrong? You know, I don't know. I'm much surprised.
Are we finished with the?
No, not exactly. We were interrupted kind of by the commercial, and I know there was more you wanted to say. I'm advocating that I would like to see the price of silver and gold set by the free market instead of the London fix for silver and whatever other manipulation takes place to control the price of gold. I'd like to see it controlled by the free market and keep the manipulation out of that, although that's easily said and hard to do. I get that. Melody, your position on that is?
Well, I mean, I think the free market's going to come, but I think it's going to come at the day of reckoning. And in the meantime, we have to deal with their manipulations. Do I like it? No. And I kudos to the people who try to sue these organizations and bringing it on top knowledge. We talk about, you have to talk about the manipulation. You have to talk about those that are bringing the manipulation to the markets, bringing it to the forefront will only help to change things if they can be changed. And perhaps it puts a damper to where they can't do it as much as they did before, just like the Bilderberger meeting. When it was secret, now it's no longer secret, and perhaps there's things that can happen for the better. And this is what we have to do with the price fixings for gold and silver. That should not take away the idea, well, I'm not going to buy gold or silver now because, you know, they're manipulating and, you know, they're never going to allow it to go up. And that's not true. In the meantime, while they're doing this and it's keeping you from buying gold and silver, it is helping them to steal your wealth. So don't let that happen, and don't let that the price fixings and the manipulations of gold and silver keep you from purchasing gold and silver. The price drops, there are opportunities to buy. You can get more gold and silver for your dollars. And we can see a little volatility in silver until they get this fixed, or until they have direction, until the market has direction. And so, you know,
I think there's a big question. Even though the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the London Metal Exchange and the London Bullion Market Association are talking about establishing an electronic-based solution to the loss of the London fix, doesn't mean they're going to succeed. There are one of the problems the London Metals fix, when they decided they were going to bail out of the situation, they tried to sell there, essentially sell that power to fix the price of silver, and nobody wanted to buy it. And that suggests to me that no one wants to buy it because they understand that they're just, it's like buying Al Capone goes to prison and there's an opportunity to buy his company. Who wants to buy? You can bet that whoever buys the company is going to go to prison too. There's going to be a lot of government investigation. You know, there's certain trouble that no one wants to buy. And at the moment, the London fix appears to be the kind of trouble that can get you jailed if you're not careful. Certainly sued, maybe jailed. So the question is, will there be a substitute for the London fix come August 14th? Will there actually be one? I know they're talking about one. I know they want one. But can they get one? Unless the government assures whoever's coming in that they're not going to jail.
No one ever goes to jail, Al. Gee, the LIBOR rate fixing?
They send foreigners to jail once in a while.
They don't send people
from our own banking industry to jail, but they're threatening criminal action against, I don't remember one of them, just in the last.
Poor guy. Timmy Geithner knew what was going on. Why isn't he in jail? He knew what was going on, and did he try to stop it or make announcements? Of course not. So, in any case,
Melody prefers Chicago Metal Exchange over the London Metal Exchange, or Chicago Mercantile Exchange over the London Metal Exchange, in the same way that some prefer the Bloods as opposed to the Crips.
Yes, I'm not.
They have a higher class of gangsters at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and so we are here to support the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
But I think we will hear a decision from this sooner than later.
I think they're going to drag it out until the end. I will have a decision if they really get something put together. If they have an alternative, they're going to announce it, I think, as soon as they can. They won't wait till the last minute. If they announce it right now, it will assure everyone that the price will continue to be fixed even after the London fix is gone. I don't think they'll wait to the last minute. If they wait to the last minute, the closer we get to August 14th, if they haven't absolutely set things up, it will indicate, the closer we get to that date, it will indicate that maybe there's not going to be a control of the silver price after August 14th. And if that were the case, then it will default to the free market. And then we're going to see some real volatility, and we are probably going to see prices rise dramatically, although they'll spike up, spike down. There'll be a lot of volatility, but the general trend should be up and up significantly,
in my estimation. I wonder what the Vegas odds are. Yeah.
That's a good – we should have Vegas odds on what the inflation rate's going to be, the unemployment rate. What are the odds that the government is going to tell us that the inflation rate is 2%?
Hey, what was the weather in April? Do we have nice weather in April? Consumer spending unexpectedly fell 0.1% in April, according to the Commerce Department today. The drop was the first in the year. But these economists, hey, they're really optimistic. They expect it to be temporary. And
but everything's temporary, Melody. I mean, there's people who are pretty sure that the sun is going to freaking burnout, although it may be 100 billion years from now, but technically it's all temporary. You understand?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, and there, I thought April had nice weather, so they can't blame a bad weather in April.
That may be the problem.
Spending.
It was unseasonably nice in April.
And
it was unseasonably cold in the winter. That explains a lot of things, and now it's unseasonably nice.
But here's something else. You had the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index. It fell more than analysts were expecting. The index fell to 81.9 in May from 84.9 in April. And you had economists, they were expecting 8.2.8. Now, this is at a time when you have the S&P and the Dow. Well, this was April. You just had it'll be interesting to see what next month's consumer sentiment is. But still, overall, the markets have been doing well. It's interesting to see that the consumer sentiment has fallen at the same time that their spending has fallen.
Which tells us what?
Fallen.
Which, again, is support for some sort of manipulation. You know, the economy contracted in the first quarter. We touched on this a little at the beginning of the story. Or at the beginning of the program, the U.S. economy actually contracted, in the first quarter, not April, in the first quarter. First time in 3 years it's contracted. You know, maybe it's an aberration. Maybe it's a sign of something to come. It's hard to say. We can overestimate the significance of that contraction in the first quarter. But one of the things that interests me is they are reporting. The first quarter is January, February, March. Then they're April. And here we are at the end of May. And they are now at the end of May telling us what really happened in the first quarter. And maybe they're telling us what really happened, and maybe they're even lying about that. I don't know. But the point is, this is presumed to be, we have now reliable information on what happened in the first quarter of the year, and the economy contracted by 1% on an annual basis.
I can't even imagine what it would be, Al, because you know they don't report the truth.
Well, but you got to work with something. I mean, we have to presume. You know, but the point is, it's 2 months after the fact. 2 months after the first quarter, they're saying, here's what happened. The reason that strikes me as important is it illustrates that government doesn't really have good control of the economy. If they don't really know what happened until 2 months after the after something did happen, it pretty much indicates that they're flying blind at the moment that something is happening. They are speculating. They're saying, I think we're doing better. I think we're doing worse. They're voting on it. They're coming to a consensus. They're moving, pushing in one direction or the other. But the truth is they don't know. This is like driving a car. When you're driving it and you've got a video device that's recording what you see in your video device and you're steering across according to that is what happened 30 seconds ago, where you were 30 seconds ago, and now you're turning left, right, speeding up, slowing down based on where you were 30 seconds ago. You know that's a, you're going to have to be awfully lucky to steer that car in a way that doesn't result in a crash. Same thing with the economy, in my opinion. We're going to take a break. Frank has to play the music. He has this compulsion about playing the music. He's got a musical background. So he's got to hear the harmonica. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We're on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75 centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got a question or comment from Yvonne?
Yes, we do. Today, Shinseki, head of the VA, and Jay Carney, which we mentioned at the top of the program, Obama's press secretary, both have resigned. And he wants to know if the rats are leaving the ship as Obama's problems multiply. In addition, is he going to be impeached?
I don't expect Obama to be impeached. I don't doubt that he deserves to be impeached. The only way we might see an impeachment is if, after this election, if Republicans really gain a lot more control in Congress and the Senate, we might see an impeachment in 2015, 2016, and it would be politics to help the Republicans do better in the 2016 election. We're certainly not going to see an impeachment, in my opinion. We're not going to see that before this year's election. but we might see it in the following 2 years before the next presidential election, just to try to keep the Democrats in their place. But Obama's been here so long, it's like some of us are, we've been sick of him for so long, it doesn't bother us anymore. It's like having a prolonged illness. You know, you're used to it. You get up in the morning, you feel miserable, you cough and you cough and you cough. But it's not a surprise because you've been doing the same thing for months and or years. I think of Obama that way. He is a prolonged illness, and all I know, it's going to end in 2016. The end of 2016, that illness is going to be gone. And then we'll see if we have a new illness, but the current dose of the Obama flu will be over in just another 2.5 years. And I guess if I can live through the last 5.5, I can live for the next 2.5. So
here's
what else did he say? He's got a, let's comment on impeachment. What else did he ask?
Oh, it was in reference to the resignations today by Jay Carney.
It's not impossible. Are the rats leaving the sinking ship? It's not impossible. All right. You could even say that Bernanke bailing out of the Federal Reserve. There was a little bit of rattishness in that, if you catch my, you know, if you see the point. We're headed for a difficult time, in my opinion. We've been saying that. We understand it on one level. A lot of people believe it. I certainly do. Just can't tell you when it's going to be there, when it's going to happen. We're getting closer, but when is the actual, you know, when do we actually get the season of our discontent, or at least the government's discontent, where we finally have significant change, and it'll be some sort of a significant collapse. And a collapse is maybe an exaggeration. We may not have a collapse, but a significant decline. When does that happen? And are these people leaving in anticipation? They can see it coming. But this quarter, next year, when's this going to happen, Melody?
I think after, my personal position on it is after the elections. But
probably so. Yeah. If they're going to control it, they'll probably may hold things together until after the election, and then
very important election. And yes, I know the elections are rigged, but isn't it an important election anyway? And
I'm not convinced that the elections are hugely rigged.
No, I don't think.
I don't doubt that they are in places. I don't doubt that it happens. But you know, we watched what happened over in Europe. I'm going to guess that the election process in this country is probably about as honest as the election process in Europe.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that there's a similarity in how much rigging goes on. And we just saw that a bunch of political parties in different countries, France and Germany and England and so on, they have new anti-government political parties have jumped in and taken control, or at least taken significant influence, unexpected influence in the governments of these countries. The fact that they were able to do that is good evidence that the elections were not controlled. It may be that they were influenced. It may be that they were biased. It may be that the English, the United Kingdom Independence Party, they allegedly picked up 28% of the vote. Who knows? Maybe if the elections weren't influenced, maybe they would add 35% of the vote. I don't know. But the fact that they were able to gain great influence is evidence that the elections were not really controlled. I'm going to extrapolate from that, look back here and say, I think there's a good chance the same thing is true here. And we see evidence of that with the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Republicans don't like the Tea Party. The Tea Party has infested the Republican Party. I mean, it's from their perspective, it's like a disease. It's like having cancer on their thigh or something like that. They want to excise it. They can't get rid of it. Well, that's evidence. There's a lot of influencers. You know, it's not a wholesome environment and completely pure. But it's evidence that the elections are not fixed so much that they are controlled. Influenced, maybe, but not controlled.
Do you think we have a Tea Party member similar to, is it Nigel Farage?
No, nobody's stepped up yet. I mean, that guy is just a brilliant speaker. I mean, he can think on his feet. It's one thing to be able to speak when you have an opportunity to prepare in advance. But he can respond to people. He is classic Englishman. All right, in the sense that you had seen Parliament function for years, they have some brilliant speakers in the Parliament.
But
certainly, Nigel Farage, he's funny, he's incisive, and he is undeterred, courageous.
You feel his energy.
Yeah, I know.
He projects this energy, his positions, he's so positive. He's a man with a mission.
Yeah.
Get that.
And he doesn't think he can lose.
Good.
He doesn't think he can lose. He exudes a kind of confidence where a couple of years ago you say, he's just another nutcase on the fringe. Some people certainly said that. But he was undeterred by that. He believed that he could accomplish a result and that the United Kingdom Independence Party could take significant control in Great Britain. And he proceeded on that basis. And, you're waiting for someone. He was spiritually similar to Ron Paul. But the difference was Farage can really inspire people in a way that Ron Paul inspired intellectually. But Farage does it on a different level.
He's younger.
Well, he's younger. He's more powerful in some regards. He has a certain amount of charisma. Nobody's going to ever accuse Ron Paul. Ron Paul did not achieve public office or fame based on charisma. But Nigel Farage, he got a certain amount of charisma going for him. And if politics don't work out and he can sing, maybe you can get him a job as a rock star. I don't know. What do you think, Melody?
I wonder what he thinks. Today, the UK came out to include illegal drugs and prostitution in official estimates of the economy. Prostitution in the import, manufacture, and consumption of illegal drugs like crack, cocaine,
yep,
heroin will be included in the official estimates of the country's economy. You can't tax that unless it's included in the economy. And some of the activities in prostitution, like prostitution, they are legal in certain parts of the European Union countries. And all member states need the same standard because they're used to assess a member state's contribution to the EU budget. So therefore, they are going to they have some things to work through as economies develop and evolve. They said they so do the statistics that they use to measure them. And this is from the
yeah, statistics. Yeah, they're evolving. What they're evolving is they see some money. People are exchanging money and the government's not getting its cut. They are going to legalize prostitution. They're going to legalize drugs in order to get taxes.
Hard drugs.
So any listening, you happen to be a prostitute, you're in big trouble. They're going to legalize it pretty soon, and you're going to be paying taxes.
What's interesting is that the comment from the Office of National Statistics is Joe Grice, the chief economic advisor. He says these improvements are going on across the world. So this is going to be something that I think would follow around the world. He says we are working with our partners in Europe and the wider world on the same agenda.
That's right. And what is the agenda, Melody?
One world.
One world government. That's part of the agenda. The other agenda is to tax everything you do. Got an article here from Prophecy News talking about Israel.
I want to finish this.
Go ahead.
But what I also found, illegal drugs and prostitution, they're already measured in countries like Estonia, Austria, Slovenia, Finland, Sweden, Norway. I didn't know that. He says to measure prostitution, statisticians will have to tabulate up the value of things like brothel rental, makeup, clothing of sex workers, and blah, blah, blah. And then with the illegal drugs, they'll have to examine the production of sales and crack cocaine. But go ahead, I'm finished.
I'm telling you, this could really affect American dating. I'm not sure how this is. You're not going to be able to send candy to your girlfriend. without having it taxed before they're done with us. But here's the point I wanted to get to, our article, and it's Israel Eyes Becoming a Cashless Society.
Saw that.
A special committee headed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whose chief of staff, has recommended a three-phase plan. That means they're going to be cooking the frogs in order to do away with cash transactions. And the reason they're claiming this will combat money laundering and other tax evasion tactics, thereby maximizing potential tax collection and greatly expanding the tax base. This is important considering the enormous strain put on Israel's national budget by the army, health care, and other public services. In other words, big government needs big taxes, and growing government needs to constantly raise taxes, or raise people, expand the number of people that are exposed to taxes. The price, of course, of big government is reduced liberty. Now, they complain and they say, or justify, excuse, the committee estimated that the black market, represents over 20% of Israel's GDP. All right, what do they mean by black market? They mean the free market. That's what they're talking about, the free market. And they say, and cash is the facilitating factor for the black market. Cash is the facilitating factor for the free market also. They go on and they say, cash enables tax evasion, money laundering, and even financing terrorism. But I would observe that cash also enables privacy. If I can buy or sell goods or services for cash, no one need know about those transactions except the buyer and the seller. There's only two parties to a cash transaction. There should be, all right? But if I buy or sell by means of digital currency, there's always at least one third party to every transaction. That third party is the government. If I'm going to buy something from Melody, I'm going to pay with a piece of plastic, that transaction goes between me and Melody, but the government is there to monitor in real time. They know what I'm buying from Melody. You understand? They know if I'm buying it from the local 7-Eleven. They know if I'm going to Gold's Gym. They know if I'm buying a new car. If I'm using plastic, I am monitored. And what that means is the government is in a position to control what I'm doing. They're not. They can monitor. They can determine from following my cash transactions. They know who I am. They can tell. Am I a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, an independent, a radical? What am I? They can tell. If I know what everybody's buying, I pretty much know who you are and what you believe in. Government will know that if they have digital rather than cash transactions. And point is that digital currencies not only enable, as per this report, says it enables tax evasion, money laundering, and even financing terrorism. Digital currencies also enable government tyranny. When it's all digital, regardless of the excuses, government's going to be able to tax, government's going to be able to control. If you step out of line, government can turn off your debit card, and all of a sudden you won't be able to buy groceries. Cash is a way to freedom. Digital currency is on the road to tyranny. We're out of time, Melody. Got to shut her down for Friday. Got to shut her down for the week. We'll be back on Monday on Financial Survival. We hope you'll all tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.